Balancing Justice and Mercy. Hi, this is Darko Stefanovic from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are concluding a series of topics based on one of the less known books of the Bible, the Book of Numbers. And to help me explore this challenging part of the Book of Numbers, I have invited two of my guests, Dr. Paul Dibdahl, Professor of Religion here at Walla Walla University, and Dr. Kyle Craig, Professor of Chemistry at the same institution. Gentlemen, welcome again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the chance to meet with you this quarter.
And I appreciate your help throughout the quarter. And here we are in the last week of this quarter. It's Christmas season. Cold outside. Our study number 13 focuses on Numbers 35. So I'm looking here at the text in front of us, verses 10 through 15, Numbers 35, 10 through 15. And I'm wondering if one of you would be willing to read.
Sure. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that a person accused of murder may not die before he stands trial before the assembly. These six towns you give will be your cities of refuge. Give three on this side of the Jordan and three in Canaan as cities of refuge. These six towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites, aliens, and any other people living among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there.
All right, to apply the principle of justice in Israel, as we see described here, wasn't so much different from, you know, what happened elsewhere, but there were some differences. Let's look at some of the details that we find in this text. The avenger of blood is mentioned. So a person has committed homicide, mm-hmm. has murdered someone, and there is the avenger of blood following in the footsteps of that person to avenge the death of a kinsman. Usually the avenger of blood was related mm-hmm. to the victim. Mm-hmm. So how should we understand today the role of the avenger of blood?
I think it's difficult to find a contemporary parallel, at least in this society. Mm-hmm. But maybe in the most general sense, the avenger of blood is the one who will stand up for us. When our rights have been taken, when we've been mistreated or wronged somehow, the avenger of blood is the one who comes to our aid.
Like a protector.
Protector. Mm-hmm. The big brother, mm-hmm. So to speak.
Yeah, I agree. There's probably not a direct correlation to mm-hmm. today's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we lived in the Middle Ages or something.
But there was a notion of justice behind it. So
yes.
We are not here, you know, to be overly harsh on what people were doing. They had their own ways, sometimes
sure.
strange ways, mm-hmm. ways that are strange to us, in which they expressed it. You know, was there any danger? Was there any possibility for misuse of the role of the avenger of blood? Kyle, what would you
I'm
say?
Sure. I mean, human beings are human beings. There's always a way to abuse the system.
So like an innocent person could mm-hmm. be executed. You know, sad to say, but sometimes the avenger of blood would go overboard mm-hmm. and in his rage go beyond mm-hmm. the person suspected or accused,
mm-hmm.
and so on. So all of these were at stake. Now, I would like to tell you that I have had a chance to live in some parts of the world where this role is taken very seriously. And in fact, in several of the languages I'm acquainted with, the role of the avenger of blood is related to the word holiness.
Mm.
It is one of the most sacred duties
mm-hmm.
to avenge the death of a fellow kinsman. Or mm-hmm. Paul, did you want to
say
something about
that? Yeah, absolutely that's the case. And being less familiar with those sorts of societies, would it be fair to say that in those cultures, it's very difficult to move beyond wrongs that have occurred in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we find to be the case?
Well,
we remember, right? No matter how long ago it was, we know of some injustice which was done, and we still feel even a responsibility to somehow get back at that group of people, that clan, that tribe.
So we have these famous law codes from Hammurabi, right, for example, and later from Moses, you know, that says only an eye, one eye for an
uh-huh.
eye, not five eyes,
uh-huh.
but only an eye for an eye, you know. And definitely that was a progress,
yeah.
you know,
and
that came as a welcome change. Well, here is another attempt, you know, to limit the extremes and the misuses of this role. So the second question is, what was the purpose of the cities of refuge?
Can I just ask one question? Why six? Is there any significance in three and three?
Usually the territory, now I'm too quick to respond. That's all right with you. Usually when we look at the territory occupied by the people of Israel once they settled in the Promised Land, it spread east of the Jordan River mm-hmm. and the west. And usually geographically we divide it into three regions, like Galilee, we have all heard, is in the north. And then Judea or Judah is in the south. And then Samaria would be right in the middle. So these cities were strategically placed, three on each side, so that in the north, in the south, and in the middle, on each side, there is one city.
Mm-hmm.
That would be probably the closest city to which, you know, the mm-hmm. the person accused of murder, whether innocent or rightly accused, would flee and find
and
it. So basically, it was the reason was practical.
And the land was narrow enough that you didn't need to have, like, six on each.
Yes,
side.
A look at the map can easily convince us, you know, that when we look at Israel, that's how it is. It's basically along the Mediterranean coast when we look at, you know, on a bigger map, like map of Asia or world map. So what was the purpose of these cities?
I think we've kind of touched on it already.
Mm-hmm.
I think an attempt to establish justice so that a person who, without malice, unintentionally, accidentally kill someone else, that they have the opportunity to state their case before the assembly and not simply have their life taken by the avenger of blood before their position can mm-hmm. be explained.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm listening, let's say, I'm putting myself in the place of a listener uh-huh. to our program here. And he or she says, so that happened long time ago. It's a small, obscure part of the Bible. What does that have to do with me? What kind of principle can I find in there that I can apply in my everyday life?
The system as a whole?
Right.
Or, I think the intent matters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, murdering somebody is different than accidentally having an axe head fly off and hit them and they die. It's not just the act, but the intent matters. I like what we already talked about, the whole idea that these cities are placed in such a way that wherever you were, justice is within reach somehow. It's not for a privileged tribe or a certain, mm-hmm. but wherever you are, justice can come to you. Just a couple of mm-hmm. lessons, I suppose, that come to mind.
It's kind of interesting, too, because here's a set of rules that was set forth, and just, you know, in the last few weeks we talked about property rights and how there was the law, and then there had to be a new interpretation of the law because of a situation that came up, and then there was another, you know, addendum to that. There really isn't any addendum to this.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a case where somebody accidentally killed somebody and they couldn't make it to mm-hmm. the city's refuge, at least that we know about, that required mm-hmm. some sort of a change to the system. So it was a system that was put in place and it worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, you know, I'll come back to my question, and that is, let's take an example. Kyle is my neighbor, and I hear something unusual about him. And before I make up my mind or I pass that information on to somebody else, I find a place of safety in time or in space for Kyle to tell me a little about it before I take it, as truth, as fact, and before I pass it on to somebody else, which is not a good idea to do anyway. So I believe, would you say that would be another practical application, you know, that whenever someone suspected of anything that is wrong, that, you know, that we think should not be done and so on, that we give a chance to that person to explain himself or herself before we pass judgment on that person or even before we take that as fact?
Sure.
Would you agree with me?
Absolutely.
That we not.
I'd appreciate that very much, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I do not have to do so much with homicide cases in my life.
Right.
And so, but I still believe that there is a principle here that we can apply.
Sure. Not that we not rush to judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's good to keep that in mind and remember it. Okay, another question. What procedures were used in deciding whether a homicide was involuntary or deliberate? That's something stated in the rest of this chapter. So the elders would be there, right? And the elders would make sure that the judges are brought in. And what happened next?
There needed to be multiple witnesses.
Not at least two?
Yes, that not just one person could come and throw out an accusation. There needed to be input from more than one person.
So there was a whole system of justice in place to make sure that that is what is done. And the passage ends here with a statement, bloodshed pollutes the land. How shall we understand this? Bloodshed pollutes the land.
As we know elsewhere that possessions could be defiled, and Israel is given as a gift to be Israel's possession, and it too can be defiled by violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you were.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the land could be defiled, and especially if human beings are made in the image of God, then, you know, to take life, and in that sense to shed blood, you know, on the earth, especially when that blood is innocent, that is something that pollutes the land. And that becomes one of the issues later on in the prophets who accuse people. Let's end, because of the season in which we find ourselves, let's end on a Christ-centered note, cities of refuge and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Any message for the season?
He's the ultimate city of refuge. He's planning one for us, too, to, you know, move on to the New Jerusalem idea.
And wherever you are, you know, we talk about Jesus being born in Bethlehem and Jesus in heaven and so forth. Jesus is very near. And wherever we are, we can run to him as a place of refuge and safety. He's very near.
He is just, but he's merciful and strong enough to save us from any avenger of blood. Well, let me take this opportunity at the end of our study to thank each one of you, Paul Devdal and Kyle Craig, and also Suzanne Michael. Each one has contributed to our discussion and study here. And I would like also to thank our audience for listening to our programs. For Good Word, I'm Zdravko Stefanović.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.